Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 25th of 2020. Jeez.
25th.
It was weird yesterday writing down 24-24.
Yeah. Messed me up a couple of times.
What'd you write down, 19?
I went back to 23.
Oh, okay.
I'd already written the 24 and like just instinct that I couldn't write it twice.
Your hand locked up. You had a seizure. Paul Kraft from the CHP is with us. That had nothing to do with a ticket, did it?
No. Mm-hmm. I did make my first traffic stop in like a long time.
Oh, really?
Well, it's only just because I'm not out on the road to do it. But
nonetheless, muscle memory kick in, or do you have to think?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like riding I was going to say a horse, but I haven't ridden a horse in a long time.
Tricycle?
Bike, I could probably fall off of too. Yeah, trike. That's probably the safest bet for me right now.
Yeah, that extra wheel helps out, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It came back to me.
Oh, good. You remembered where to sign.
I didn't go that far.
Oh.
I was more
Oh, you were a nice guy cop.
I was.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a pal.
Hey, you know, it's about education. And we talked for a minute, and the driver understood the error of their ways and promised to do better. Yeah.
After all the blood drained. Oh, you ready for your opportunity to really send intelligence?
I've been exercising my brain.
This is in politics and history. So.
Oh, man, I'm not a politics guy, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what does it mean? What does it mean? Okay, what does it mean when someone offers a sea change, SEA change?
Sea change.
Yeah, not sea like convenience store.
I imagine it has something to do with how the tide rolls in and out, but I don't know how to relate to that.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's in that vein.
Well, yes, there is maritime involvement in this. Good move. Good move.
You know, being in the Coast Guard at one point.
You really don't want to jump this one.
Phil, I'm familiar with the sea.
Yes. Sea change is a term often used in politics that refers to a surprising and significant change from a previous position. Because early sailors were familiar with the sudden and unpredictable temperament of the sea, mm-hmm. 1 minute calm, life-threatening and dangerous the next, they introduced the expression sea change into every everyday English language, meaning any sudden transformation.
Okay.
Kind of like you out on the road.
Could be.
Changing
behaviors, changing driving behaviors.
Yeah. So don't take the corridor anymore. Take the bridge or Old Arcata Road.
Well, just don't go too fast in the corridor.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know if you guys are monitoring that much or if EPD is involved or APD or who has what, or the sheriff. Are people slowing down through the construction area that has no construction going on? Or no active construction going on?
I think it's been better. I know in the beginning there were a lot of calls coming in. So the calls can either go to dispatch center or sometimes we'll get calls into the office, which we'll transfer. Excuse me. And the call volume has seemed to go down. Complaints from the community have gone down, but they're still there. And we know that people are still taking advantage of trying to get somewhere fast through that section. And there's not active construction with someone out there flagging or something.
You don't see a yellow hat walking around.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just people.
Well, the lanes were offset quite a bit more in the beginning phase also. Now it's narrowed down or straightened out a little bit more.
I've tried to go, confession, so I'll go 58. That's what I do. Where it's posted 55.
Okay.
Okay. And I will...
I absolve you of your sins.
Thank you, Father. At night, going through there, if I'm going 45, I got people whipping around me like nobody's business.
I believe it.
So it's... You know, what, as a seasoned veteran patrol officer...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, hook his plan.
Let me call one of those real quick.
Yeah. What is your recommendation? Go with the flow you're not messing things up, or go the speed limit and having people having to go around you, weave around you, accommodate you.
Yeah, that's the answer, is follow the speed limit that's set in place. If your example is hitting the 40 mile an hour section of where the construction is at right there, slowing to 40, the other vehicles, although they get behind you and want to push you, the recommendation is, from my point of view, if someone is driving recklessly behind you or around you, get as much information off the vehicle as you can, pull over safely if you feel like they're creating a hazard for you, exit and get back on when it's safe to do so.
What if there are 15 people behind you and you see all the brake lights starting to light up?
Yeah.
That's a little disconcerting.
You're not going to get in trouble for doing what you're supposed to do. They can get in trouble for, following you too close, driving aggressively, passing and speeding, and that only gets worse in a construction zone. Fines are increased. The dangers are increased with the barrier walls that are built up there right now.
It's kind of like driving the Golden Gate.
Yeah, very similar to that.
It's like, okay, that's kind of fun.
You know. I tense up and I'm like,
oh, really?
Hands at 10 and 2 and keep it in as straight a line as I can when I get on that bridge. And it's, when they put those little zipper
walls up. We don't have to drive 5.5 hours to experience it, though.
Right. Right here in our backyard. And just a side note, that's where I made that traffic stop yesterday because someone
Golden
was,
Gate?
No.
Oh.
I don't cover that far south. Yeah. But in our local construction zone in the corridor. And, I could lie and say that we're going to have an officer there every day, 24 hours a day, but we know that's not logical or possible.
Anybody driving it knows that to be kind of a shallow statement.
And that's the problem, is because we can't be present there all the time. People take advantage of that, but I can promise you that we are aware of that. And so we get overtime details, we get extra officers to put some time out there. So you're rolling the dice, really, if you're taking chances there.
Watch out for the pole guy.
That's right.
It's 8:19.
When I'm making stops, jeez.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. The rains that we had, did you guys see anything goofy different, or was everybody kind of shock and awe during that window and either driving super slow or not driving at all?
Yeah, it looked like there was a little bit of traffic slowing, less people traveling, hitting the road, but still... When this happens, it affects the roads quite a bit with the trees and rocks. And we've had a number of slides that even now are still active. I know 96 around Hoop area, there's been a couple there. They just put some netting up or are doing it today. I don't recall around the south end of Hoopa. We did have some bad crashes and we've had a few fatalities in the last few months. And some of it because of probably contributing factor of weather. But I would say overall, it hasn't been as bad as in past years with the number of crashes. So that's promising.
The highway closing, that's got to be a little weird for you guys. I mean, if it's an overturned truck, okay, what does that take? An hour to clear, and then you can't blow it open. But a half day?
Yeah.
In a couple of places. It's like, oh, this is what the theory is all about.
Yeah.
How do you guys handle that at both ends? On the parts you can get to, but also the parts you can't get to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes you can't get past certain debris in the roadway and get to the crash that you need to get to or the next tree that's down. Our goal is to get the roadway open as quickly as possible and get the roadway safe. And we do that with Caltrans, County Roads, working together to get all that stuff done. But let's say, you know, a crash blocking the roadway, we have several things that we have to consider. One is the safety of the occupants, then the safety of the other drivers, and then getting the road open. And we don't just close it to keep it closed or do it arbitrarily anytime there's something close to the road. We do want to continue to get the flow of traffic through as much as we want to have a secure scene and investigate it properly. So we try to balance those things. And I think we do a pretty good job. But sometimes there are hazards that, you know, prohibit keeping it open
like
at all.
The water going over the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one. And I know from following some of the activity through the flooding days, there are still drivers that say, even after we say don't drive through standing water, that do it. And they've had to be rescued or find ways to get out of that stalled vehicle.
Honestly, if somebody's a jerk like that, right, and they go through and they get off, you take a little bit longer to get them?
No, I mean, we do everything nature, we can, right? To yeah. provide the service that's required.
As long as there's not life endangered or something, but, you know, somebody just gets off on the shoulder and they get stuck.
I think they've probably learned enough at that point.
It's kind of like the guys that drive on the beach.
Well,
at low tide.
I don't know how that happens, but
I see. We have a little experience in this area.
No, not to me. I've experienced seeing it happen.
Okay.
But with the standing water in the road, you know, it can be deceiving, and you can't really tell at times really how deep it is, and it's just not safe. So.
Well, and the power. I mean, even if it looks like a little lazy creek.
That's right.
It still backs up.
If it's anywhere near flowing water, if you try to walk it to see how deep it is, you could get sucked in, and there are real dangers involved with that too. So, you know, take your time or make a decision to go later. Nothing's as important as your health and safety. So,
I thought you were going to say it's not being stupid.
I have to use different words.
Yeah, that's right. You're a representative of the state of California who knows nothing about being stupid.
Silent head nod.
Yeah, I was going to point that out.
It's just less educated decisions are made sometimes, and we're here to help progress the education of the motoring public.
Nice.
Thank you.
You know, I never thought of you as a teacher. It's kind of a frightening thought, frankly.
It might be a second career there.
Yeah, it could be.
Except that I don't like kids.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I love mine.
So when these types of weather issues show up and they're unpredicted, or at least the intensity wasn't predicted, how quick do you rally the troops? How quickly can you rally the troops?
Well, yeah, in most cases, I think the weather forecast can be pretty good about setting us up to, I think if there's any chance at all, like that it could get really bad, officers are really advised, and we have an understanding that you could be called in for significant events, but maintaining a good staffing level at the time helps, and then having officers that are prepared and ready to come in and assist when necessary, and we had that happen. We work 12-hour shifts right now is what the Humboldt office is running. So you have officers on all day long. The ability to bring in an officer early or hold one over later in the evening is there, although we don't like to do that because a 12-hour day is already long enough. But when needed, officers are willing to stay and help until the safety issues are resolved and we get back stable as we can.
Tide goes out?
Or
the donut truck shows up?
The plow truck from Caltrans.
Oh, it's a plow truck. Sorry. It was a typo. PL or D, one or the other. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big. Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. I don't know if that's the first time I said the CHP. Oh, interesting.
Oh, maybe.
So, got some correspondence from you early this week. Yeah. You never write to say how much you miss me.
No.
It's always something heavy.
Sorry.
And it's like, okay. So, and it's interesting, I think. Some of us know where Metropolitan is.
Yeah.
Most folks, you know, unless you're history, don't.
Rio
Del. Well, that's not Rio. It's north of Rio Del. Yeah. It kind of disappeared in the 55 flood. But you go there and you see like sidewalks where they don't belong and a couple of stairs.
So you're telling me a part of history that I wasn't aware of.
There was a whole Metropolitan Hotel was out there. There was a
Oh, I was not aware.
Functional town there. But, you know, the logs and the trees kind of knocked it all out in the flood. Still kind of a reference point. I guess now the Chapman's is more of a reference there.
Yeah, for us, yeah.
Yeah, that area's had kind of a tough history. That's where Roger Rodoni was killed.
And then
you had a situation within the last week there. Somebody
really bad crash.
Yeah, what was that one about?
We don't know all the details of why. We know that a driver was going the wrong way and crashed into another car, caused both to catch on fire and flames, bad damage, and none of the occupants survived. The coroner's office I was in touch with yesterday, and it is taking time to, although I think there are community members that know who the occupants were. We haven't updated that because the coroner's office is still going through the process for positive identification. So out of respect for the family and stuff, we're still holding out for all that.
I would think an incident like that is, you have the emotional component, obviously.
Yeah.
But trying to do that identification, if there's everything's on fire and blowing up and chemicals and all, you know, as well as the impact,
mm-hmm.
That really has to make it challenging, unless there's like a license plate and you can kind of, you know, chase that down to find out who, let alone why.
Right. We do start with that. So even with the fire, let's say in this case, we're able to identify either the plates or a VIN number on the vehicle. We can identify the vehicles and you can find the registered owner of that. That doesn't necessarily mean that's who is in the vehicle. And 100%, we want to make sure, you know, somebody didn't loan a car out.
You know, or somebody's grandkid.
Yeah. Another family member has borrowed the car. It's a very tragic incident. There's a fine line to walk sometimes on releasing information and not. And we always want to be respectful of the family. Excuse me.
Do you still have people trying to push to find out who it was?
Yes, because there are public records that are supposed to be available to the public, and some of that information is releasable, correct?
Yeah, and no, but I mean, right. Like in this window where it's not really 100%, you may have a pretty good indication.
Right.
Are there people pushing to find out?
Not pushing hard, but we've had requests for the information, and we just say what we're saying now, that hasn't been positively confirmed. So until that time, we'll withhold that information. I can say that, you know, there's a high likelihood of the knowledge of who they are, and the county's victim assistance program is in touch with those family members.
So the reach out has already started.
So, yeah. Yes, there aren't people sitting around waiting for resources, but so there is a back outside of all that, that things are still happening. But when it comes to just public information, we want to make sure we put the right thing out. You know, and it's not just hard for them either. I've talked to the officers, responded to the scene, and I've had these same calls before, and I've been on the scene like this before. So I don't think it's embarrassing or shameful to say that there were tears shed talking to those officers the night after, because it's a powerful emotional event. We have kids and families ourselves.
Yeah, you can project into that real easy.
We're not just single amorphous beings walking through the earth without any attachment to anyone.
So we don't have
it
AI.
Hits everybody.
We don't have AI.
We're not there yet. Yeah. Not there yet. So, yeah, and resources, as much as they're offered to the families, there's resources being offered to the officers, dispatchers involved in all of this. And that's just kind of some background and insight into some of the stuff that we do on our side, too.
Well, and there's recognition now that there's the need.
Absolutely.
Where in the past.
Used to be ignored or not addressed. Everybody was...
Go to the next call.
You're a cop. You're strong.
Yeah.
You know, suck it up. Go to the next call. Right. Some officers do that, and they have the ability to do that. Most of us, we're humans that feel things and need help, need to talk to somebody sometimes, too. So,
in a situation like that, Paul, or not that situation, but in a situation where there's a major event, is it better to or easier to process if it's a huge, significant or something far less in magnitude? This, you got boom and explosions and things, and, you know, all that, versus maybe somebody getting hit in a crosswalk.
No, that's all.
They're all.
It's
kind
all
of
powerful.
The same,
okay. It all has a visual attached to it that imprints on you. And sometimes you don't even think, you're not thinking about it at the time. Most of the time for us, we're not really processing it there because we have a job to do, and we know that that needs to be done to protect everyone there and get that scene processed and move through it. But as soon as you step away, you get in your car and you start driving away from
it. The adrenaline comes down.
Yeah.
In reality.
It's just like any heightened event that starts to come down and you start to feel it. And it's important that we recognize that, and we talk to officers about that. And
does the entire team get impacted? You don't respond. You got folks in the office that they're not responding to it. Do they feel it also?
I say absolutely. It's just like I said, talking to the officer, tears are shed. It wasn't just her. It was me, because I've been to another call, and I've been hit on the side of the road. We've talked about it before. Emotions come up, and I can picture what she was seeing there or what the other officers were seeing there, and relate to them having families and young kids and having to process what they observed on scene. And it takes some time to work through that, too.
Are officers more religious? What I was thinking was, you know, but for the grace of God.
Right.
And that was one that Ray Shipley used very regularly when he was police chief in Eureka in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys and gals are out there and you see all this stuff far more regularly than what the average person does.
Right.
And I would...
I'm sure not every officer is, but I believe that that can be a strong foundation for an officer to lean on.
For support.
Support. Right. Some may become religious when they weren't, based off of something that happens to them, and looking for help or something to lean on or grab onto, and they may find that during that time. But I don't know.
But I guess it's one of those things you can't ask about anyway, right?
I don't think it matters. I think it's just the most important part is that there is someone there to talk to and some resource. And we've gotten much better at recognizing that and providing that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1979.
Good morning, INS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. So, Paul, in situations like this where there are major car incidences or truck incidences, there's got to be protocols that everybody follows going into that. But how different is it if it's a big one, a small one, the lumber truck turnovers through the lagoons? I mean, that's one that used to happen far more regularly than what it does now.
Sure.
Can you guys train to that stuff, or do you train to that stuff? And that's why the response is as quickly as it is and as orderly as it is.
Yeah. I mean, the investigation part of what we're doing is pretty much the same across the board. Different vehicles, you know, just take a little bit of extra understanding of dynamics, or in particular for commercial vehicles or a big truck that's hauling something. We have a commercial vehicle officers that are specialized in that and can inspect the vehicles for maybe mechanical failures that occurred, and also make sure that the drivers were in order with, you know, their logs and everything they're supposed to be doing. And also,
so they jump into the why.
Yeah.
Why,
well,
it happened.
In some manner, but still the investigating officer, the patrol officer that's taken that, they're still ultimately responsible for writing the crash and determining the how, why, all the factors involved with that. But that commercial officer can assist because they understand the commercial vehicles better, and they have specialized training in the mechanics of those big trucks.
Yeah, they're almost mechanics, aren't they?
In some ways, yeah. I don't know the full level of their training, but they, yeah, and diary readers. Yeah, they spend more time with them, and they understand how they work better because it's a different, you know, braking system and all the stuff that's involved in that. Then we also may have to get, like, Fish and Wildlife involved or other agencies if it's, depending on what they're hauling and what's spilled or if it's spilled.
And where it's spilled.
And where it's spilled. Yeah. So other agencies can become involved as well, and we're responsible for trying to identify those needs and have dispatch coordinate those for us. So,
what's the biggest pressure you have in a situation like that where there's disruption of traffic flow? Is it to get the flow going, or is it to clean up? Obviously, they're related. To clean things up. What is the 1, 2, 3, 4?
It's a little bit of both, because we'd want to get traffic flowing, but only if it's safe to do so. So that may be that we close one lane, or we do one-way controlled traffic and intermittently get cars through, because we know it can become dangerous having cars back up, and especially into blind curves that can be around here at night and not be able to see as far. So those can create hazards that we don't want either. So whatever we can do to help expedite the flow of traffic, we'll do without compromising the integrity of the investigation or the needs for cleanup at the scene. So sometimes we have to shut down the lane. We might be able to open temporarily. Then we'll close it back down for the tow truck to maybe pull a vehicle up off the shoulder. And that's why sometimes it'll seem like things are going, and then you have to stop again, and you're stuck, like, oh, what happened? Well, that's some of the things that could be going on up ahead where you can't see.
Or another accident.
Or another accident.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the more challenging scenarios that play out. You got the queue line.
Yeah.
Somebody comes in, they're not paying attention, or they're coming in too hot or whatever it is. And now not only do you have the primary, but you've got an event or a chain of events, and now you got all those people engaged with their emotions flaring up, trying to calm that.
Yeah.
And I would think sometimes you're not even aware that that happened, unless you hear something.
Yeah. You'll get a call, or you can usually hear something if you're out on scene, if it's that much of an impact. But if you have to stop that situation, leave a gap between you and the car ahead of you, where if you see something coming behind you that you need to try and get out of the way, if somebody's coming in fast behind you, being aware of that, even if you're stopped watching your rearview mirrors, but being able to turn that steering wheel left or right and apply gas to move forward to the right or left, not hit the car in front of you, so leave that gap, and then avoid getting hit from the rear. I've had to do it a few times myself, and it's been lucky.
A car length?
That's enough. If you can turn your wheels and pull forward without hitting the back end of that other next car, yeah. Car length's probably good.
It.
Yeah, no need to practice. Just be
just
prepared.
Estimate. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Nice to see you, bud.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share a little bit.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Get whatever that is that you're drinking out of here. it looks nasty.
Thank you for the canned water that
you shared.
There
you go. All right. Yeah, it's been tested, FDA approved.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.